And a deep inhale. And a long exhale. Welcome to Last Week on Keith and the Girl. I'm Bianca Brady. We did it. We made it through another week. If this is where you mark the end of last week and the beginning of your new week, then I'm here to tell you, you did it. And I'm very, very proud of you. You're doing a great job. Personally, me, myself, and I've come up with a new method that I'd love to share for trying to disengage from social media as a form of mental health care. Now, it's a little scary to think about deleting these apps off of your phone entirely, because what if, you know, you need to see them instantaneously and they're not there? Then what will you do? Redownload them? It will take a while.
You know what? By the way, they're going to wait for you. Like, they'll have you on file. I bet you it won't take too long.
No, yes. Oh, gosh. I'm not talking about deleting your profiles. I'm just talking about looking at it as much. So what I've done is I've made a separate folder on the very last page of my phone. So I have, you know, everything I use. And then the second page is like random stuff I don't really use. The third page is this one folder with all the social media apps. And the title of the folder is, Are You Sure?
Yes.
And I haven't tapped on it since I did this. Because it was always in that same spot. It's been the same spot for years. My finger just goes there. Yep. My finger still goes there.
I close it and then I open it. And I'm like, that wasn't conscious.
I was just there.
Yeah. So now it's on the third page by itself in a folder called Are You Sure? And that's so far so good been a method that's helped, because it's non-committal. It's not saying you can't do this, or you're bad for looking at these, or you're just hurting yourself. What are you doing? It's not, it's just one more check-in.
Yeah. I'm going to label mine, Are You Better Than Yesterday, You?
Yeah. So it's helping so far.
It's because they bullshit you behind the scenes. Like, how do we find these things that get us set off, that set us off? And I assume you're not talking about just the headlines, but, you know, somebody's stupid opinion. I am seeing shit that I didn't follow anybody close to you.
Right. Yes, I'm not seeing anything like from people being celebrating the end of Roe versus Wade.
I'm not either, but I'm seeing a middle ground and why I didn't click follow.
Right.
But you also saw that it was trending. What was it? God Bless or something like that?
God Bless was trending number one on, you know, the first tab is your trending stuff. And I'm like, yeah, I never typed in praise God in my life.
Still saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And the algorithm is supposed to be, you know, just based on data. And yet I'm taking it personally no matter what.
Sure, of course.
So it's like when it rains, you know, I take that personally too. Yeah. I don't like it. It's rude.
Well, praise God, he knew what I was doing and then I didn't have an umbrella and he did it.
Exactly. Rude.
Right. I'm starting to think God is a man. You know what I mean? It's a little fucking rude.
Really rude. Really rude. And taking up a lot of space, honestly. Yeah. On the subway as a metaphor for America.
You see these clouds? They're really spreading. You know what I'm saying?
Jeekers crow, as my grandmother would say.
Mm-hmm. She's not
I'd like to welcome to the show today my guests. It's Keith Melly and it's Humda. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
True return to form this episode. Bianca is being real. She's being low energy. She's being brisk. Mm-hmm. We must get through it. We are called. It is our duty. It is not a job. It is a calling.
Right.
Similar to the priesthood.
But this one makes more sense to me.
Yeah, the yeah. Calling. This one, somebody actually called you.
I right, was right. We called her.
I was called upon. And yes, I was called upon by Keith and Hemda several years ago.
We have the proof, unlike this God business.
Right.
Right. I heeded the call.
Actually, it was the people that spoke as well. That's true. So everyone's calling.
Yep. You know, my number's listed. Just hit me up whenever. my phone is now, you know, just a series of booby traps so that I don't accidentally get myself back into Twitter.
But I get off Twitter, but I pick up every phone call about a car insurance scam. Just to talk.
You gotta let it out.
Well, I've been texting a lot since I did this. I've been like, so, like, what's everybody think, you know? Yeah. Granola bar wise, we doing Cliff, we doing RX, we doing Kind. It's like I need product placement. I need advertising. Yeah. I need to know. But yeah, I mean, that is basically my update. I would say Bianca is saying, Jesus, take the wheel. And drive. And
stop crashing, maybe a little off
drive
the beach.
Drive these people to their nearest abortion clinic, which is probably hundreds of miles away. And I don't want them to be prosecuted. Thank you, Jesus. And Jesus is the bus driver in this scenario.
It is a beautiful community and beautiful friends that we know also. But when we just did the Keith and the Girl poker tournament, and a woman there said, hey, I'm in Canada. If anybody needs to go fishing up here and it's not legal for you to go fishing where you are, you could stay in my guest room and we'll make sure the fish gets taken care of. You got to look around, unfortunately, but there's help out there from good people.
And same here. The fishing's really good in Brooklyn. So let me know.
Right. Nice.
I love fishing and I have an extra bedroom for fishing. So
not to jump ahead too much, but we just saw you on Friday. How you were so you're so good and smart. But you're right. Let's go in order.
Oh,
and
my gosh. Come on. In order. Yes.
Thank you, Keith.
Yeah, wow. It's true.
I was thinking we'd start this week with the bonus shows because there was so much flagrant action in Q&A in Jerome's life, to the point where I can't even do my bit of like pretending that I'm fucking. Also fucking like I if comedy is about like heightening, you know, right. I can't, there's nothing, there's nowhere for me to go from here. And all I have to say is you must listen to this episode, especially if you feel any sort of conflict within yourself about like questions of morality, questions of, you know, sexuality, questions of what it means to have grace and consequences, being open, being understanding. And all I have to say is that these men are so lucky to have Newsy in their lives, shepherding them through this sort of, you know, illustration of their trauma in real time. You know, this story shook me.
Wow,
to
I gotta
core.
Pay attention a little more when we're recording. I did not catch all of this depth.
I've read articles where sometimes it's just words, and sometimes it's like poetry.
I mean, the story just shook me to my core of this most recent man. And the fact that it was just sort of a weekend of, it was like, you know.
All the father-son stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A Linklater movie, like the before sunrise of this thing. And it had kind of a beginning, middle, and end. But just like the audacity of this man to be like, that's really what I took from it. Like, right. for somebody to be in their community in a certain way, and then a counselor at by trade, and then sort of like utilizing Newsy as this, you know, figure, as this like token to recreate something that they needed to work through on his own, and then the, you know, the caveats with the money and the you can't be with anybody else, and
right.
if somebody sees me, I know you from school, and here's a picnic, and here's like my inner life, and here's what my son does for work, you know. It was all so intense, and it was all so compact into one, you know, weekend. Short span of time that I mean, it could be an absolute epic movie. And then for that weekend to also include Newsy trying to resuscitate a dying man in a gas station parking lot.
And that's not even the right. That we didn't even start with that because, okay, why not?
And like, I think, you know, he's a very cool customer, of course, Newsy.
Mm, yes.
And, you know, maintains a sort of tone throughout any kind of story that is kind of, it's hard to believe what he's saying because he's casual about it. And we all know that. But the idea that he did that, he sort of processed it in his own way, went to work, told everybody. Then his manager sort of like gave him a hug and like looked at him and was like, you know, this is big. And just the idea that sort of like everything that happened to him that weekend was really, really intense. And I don't know how he processes these things.
Is he a sociopath? Jerome? Have you considered?
No, he feels guilt if he does something wrong.
It doesn't have to be bad.
That's a big thing.
He has to remind himself to feel certain things, though. I don't think being a sociopath is like a negative. You don't have to use that, let's call it power or whatever. You don't have to use it for killing people and what we learn about it in the movies. You could just
be. They tell me my kid's a sociopath. I go, yay, the possibilities. Explain the good ones.
No, I just think it takes things a long time to sink in for him. I really do. Like, I mean, I had the experience of seeing someone die in a really horrific way, and it didn't hit me until probably, I don't know, a week or two later. I didn't have like an emotional response until later. And then it turned out I had some symptoms of PTSD from that I had to work through.
I could see that. You know what? I'm on delay too sometimes. It's almost like I don't believe it, and then my brain catches up, and it's like, oh, fuck, that did happen.
And I, similar to Newsy, like, I'm very...
Damn, I wanted to be a sociopath. Just kidding.
I'm calm in a crisis like that myself, and I only know because of how many crises I've been in. But yeah, like, in the moment, and then, I don't know, it takes a while for some people. So, I don't know. Newsy,
stay tuned in, everybody.
You're not off the hook. Keep us posted.
Mm-hmm. Now he has the name of feeling at the start of every episode. Name of feeling that you felt.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what his opening songs are about, but I hear you.
Choose a hoe.
Yeah, I think it's clear. That's regret.
But anyways, this is some of the most scintillating podcasting out there, people. So if you really want to think and feel, you got to tune in. Mm-hmm. You got to tune in to Chewin' A.
Goddamn, nice. That's good.
Nice. That's good.
And last week on Keith and the Girl, similarly, another, you know, really... A great discussion to be able to think about as a listener was the imposter syndrome you know, like another reflection on imposter syndrome and Zach Sherwin. I didn't hear that episode, but being a word person, mm-hmm. and thank you, Hemda, for caping for me with regard to being on his live show. I would love to do it if anyone wants to tell him.
I think they should.
Let's get it done. Yeah.
I think you elevate all the shows you're on. I think you are the quote of the episode usually, or the bomb that drops. It's to his, he's got to do it for his own show.
Now Bianca doesn't follow Twitter now, right? But
but only when I'm sure that I want to click.
Okay.
On it.
So is it best like at the Crossword Hour or at Bianca L. Brady? What's the best? That includes you. That you would
Bianca
know
L. Brady.
Okay, so you rate Zach Sherwin, you include Bianca L. Brady, and everybody does it and goes, hey, no joke, as discussed, get Bianca on the show or your life is worse.
He was on the...
Not a death threat. I just meant you're doing yourself a disservice, like Henda said.
Okay, yeah.
And I'll kill your family.
He was on the Crossword Hour. He was on... Him and Mike were on an episode, right. So... But... Rod, I felt when Rod was talking about how Wordle, you know, Zach was like, yeah, Wordle is great for you guys. And I felt
like
such a piece of shit because that's exactly how I feel about Wordle, too.
I can do Wordle and I don't do a crossword in my life. Yeah.
And I don't want people to not do Wordle. Like, of course it's fun, but it's like,
but I can guess it by chance on the second try. That's not the hardest game in the world.
Is it like checkers and chess for some reason when people pick up like, hey, do you know how to play chess? No, but I know how to play checkers. And I'm like, what is that? Yeah. What? There's a lot of games where you move pieces on a board that has, it's not even compared.
It's that game Mastermind. Where you put four
Mastermind.
Pegs. Yeah, it's that.
Mastermind is hard though.
I guess this is hard too, but it's with words and it's not that hard.
I don't know. I mean, it's such a spelling bee I don't really like. So, you know, that's another one.
Which one's that? That's the times two, right?
Yeah, that's the one where it looks like a little honeycomb and you have to make as many words as you can find with the letters given.
Like Boggle.
Like Boggle. But you have to use the middle letter in every word.
Not me.
Not you.
Nobody tells me what to do.
Okay, and then you guys also talked about like these terrible Mormons and the documentaries.
We went off.
I mean, it's honestly, it's too much and I need to touch grass. I'm recommitting to touching grass. And watching Gilmore Girls. That's the only thing on Netflix. And the only thing on my phone is texting and calling.
Hamza, Hamza, Hamza.
Yeah.
Okay.
These episodes. So,
moving on. Episode 3552. Our Father with Murph Meyer. This was the episode where Hemda, your internet was kind of in and out.
Oh, yeah, that was so scary. They would bring up like a giant topic. Yeah, and I'm like, okay.
The Juneteenth discussion.
Oh, I walked in on that. I'm like, I guess whatever they said.
Was that stressful behind the scenes?
Always, I think. But I think we keep cool, right? Like, it's like, I hear things like, oh, Hamda's frozen again. Anyway, why don't we continue? I'll mark this edit point here. And, she'll probably be back. And then we're like texting each other on the side. Like, am I continuing? What should I do next time? Because we have to make these decisions.
Right.
And we're spending time with this other human being who, you know, we're like, where were we? Anyway.
Right. You just brought up heroin addiction. So I don't want to say, do you want to do it another day? you know? And so then, you know, me and Hemda are talking on the side and it's like, okay, just try to come in. We'll assume you cut in and out, which you did a little bit still, but we're going to keep going.
Right.
So that's what happened. But yeah, it worked out. And just, that's the fucking internet.
Was he an asshole?
Yes, because he's like, what the fuck? No, of course. He was very nice, very polite. He was a good sport.
Seems like a sweet guy.
Yeah.
You guys also talked about your dad and the gold and the Father's Day stuff being like, you'll be sorry when I have the gold.
Right.
And then who will be laughing all the way to the bank? I think perchance it will be me.
You could,
son of mine,
realize it's billions of dollars. Feel like it, not feel bad for me as a person, feel bad that you're not getting the money, then kiss my ass, and I'm gonna allow it. Like, what the fuck? How would my dad think I'm gonna allow it? And then we have a, instead of just thinking I'm the worst money grabber, which is, you know, one of the stories he loves to tell about the Bible and, you know, Jesus overturning the tables. What the fuck is that point? But we know what the point is. Whatever it takes for me to say good morning, Father, is pleasing to him.
Right. You know, what's good about Murph is we always know that he's never going to say something like, yeah, but that's your dad.
Right.
Like, what's next in the dad saga? Dads are crazy, too.
Well, you lived life. Yeah, you do heroin. It's probably not just because you found heroin. There's probably other shit, too. This guy lived life.
Yeah, I liked your questioning around how is he going to talk to his daughter about doing drugs, and is he going to do drugs with her?
Just a little,
because
just a little bit.
When I was in high school, my dad wrote a pamphlet, sort of like a joke, but not. Right. And it was called How to Talk to Your Kids About Smoking Pot Smoke Pot.
Oh, wow. Okay. Good for him.
Okay.
Good for him or not good for him? How old were you?
Yeah, let's wait. Hold on.
How old were you?
I was like 16 or something.
Okay.
How was the pamphlet?
It was pretty funny. It was more like a comedic output than a real pamphlet.
Was the point wait until you're an adult?
No, it was. The point was kind of like harm reduction. Like, you know, this is a health tool for some people. Smoking pot, you know, like there could be worse things.
What did you think as a teenager? Like, I can talk to at least one of my parents, or...
But you can only do it in pamphlet form. You have to make art.
I was like, oh, that's funny. You know, like, we were doing bits. Right. We weren't really talking. Mm. And I could talk to my mom about smoking pot, and she didn't smoke pot, so...
You were in a good place, so it could be funny instead of... Funny and
yeah, it was funny, and it was during a period of like relative serenity. So I just remember it as a positive memory.
Cool.
A little funny bit that we were doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet he can sell copies of it.
Oh yeah, of course.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. The best. But speaking of telling someone you think they might have a problem with drugs, what was the poll?
The poll was, did you want someone to let you know they see you have a drinking drug problem? Yes, no, or I didn't have a drinking drug problem. 56% say I never had a problem. Out of the rest, and I think I said this wrong on Keith and the Girl, but out of the 50%, not out of the 50%, the other, okay, 56% didn't have a problem. 33% said, yes, I like somebody told me. 11% said no. I think I said the math wrong before, but 33% out of the total 100% said yes.
But what you're saying is, of the people who did have a problem, more of them wanted to be told.
Yes, 3-1. 3-1 people wanted to be told.
That is
that's
surprising.
Not shocking to me at all.
Really?
It's just another way to abdicate responsibility. Like, well, why didn't you tell me I had a problem?
Do you think it's blaming the other person?
Well, I think you could use it as fodder. You could be like, how was I to know? Nobody told me. And it's like,
somebody was coming for me. No one was coming for me.
Yeah. It's like, well, it's actually not anyone else's responsibility to, you know, monitor your behavior. So that's why.
Right.
And, you know, I understand wanting to be wanting to be recognized, like feeling misunderstood and feeling like someone could just look at me and tell me what I am, then maybe I could figure it out better on my own. But that's kind of a fantasy. That's not how change happens. If somebody tells you you have a problem and you're not ready to hear it, that's just a way for them to end their friendship with you.
I hear. I liked it.
Yeah, no, I think it's, I agree. I mean, I understand why it would be good, because then you could say, huh, like, well, if so-and-so thinks I have a problem, that's interesting. I don't think I have a problem.
Or, you know, and you then, have, for me, I knew I had a problem. And then, like Kendra exactly. just said, that somebody's coming after you and you're like, oh, okay, shit.
Right, but I think if Hemda wasn't your business partner, then it would be different. You know, like, your lives were so intertwined at that point. But if it's just a friend with whom you have, you know, a caring but casual relationship, I don't know if it's something that the other person would like to hear. Because it's kind of a MYOB situation.
I have mind your own business. I got it.
I have a friend that I said, hey, you all right? Something's going on. Obviously talking about drinking. And it seemed they appreciated it.
Yeah, I think that's great. Hey, are you all right? Seems like something's going on. I think that's a great thing to say.
But we all know why I think something's going on, because you were a mess the other night.
Right. But I think there's a difference between saying that and saying, I think you have a problem with alcohol.
Hmm. Well,
I see. Because Bianca's seeing the difference between those two and Keith sees it as the same thing.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
Like, what else would I have an issue with?
Right.
Because otherwise he's perfection.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you have a problem with him.
Yeah. Okay. I see what you mean. I think it's very different to me to say, like, hey, I noticed something, you know, is off with you. Open-ended, fill in the blank. I'm here for you if you want to talk about it. Open-ended, fill in the blank.
Does that upset the other person? Like, do you understand what I'm saying?
They know. I mean, they know. Like you just said when Hemda would tell you.
But Hemda, would you think like, you know what I'm fucking saying, right?
I think the difference is me going to you, hey, I know you're drinking and I think it's excessive. Versus, hey, you're late to every meeting and you're slurring during them. That's the problem that I see.
Yeah, I'm not monitoring your drinks. I don't hear a difference.
The difference is I don't know what's making you come late. Maybe the slurring is different.
What do words
I don't know
mean?
But there is a difference in I'm telling you what your problem is, and as soon as you get rid of that problem, we won't have any problems. Or I'm telling you what my problem with you is, which is you're coming late, you're disrespecting me, you're doing this, that, and the next. Not you're smoking weed, I don't like that you smoke it on Friday nights, I prefer you do it on Sundays. Just your behavior is changing, is something up, and then you can tell me if it's your addiction or not. It's checking on you without being your parent or guardian because you're an adult.
That's right.
I'm a fan.
Okay. All right. We have to move on. We must move on.
Poll is, did you understand the difference? Okay.
Poll is, when you have your friends and they're in trouble, try to be nice, but don't be too bossy.
Okay. There it is. Yeah.
Did you, like when you would talk to your dad, did some things hit a different way? Like, did you learn anything from that?
I mean, I've been going to Al-Anon for a really long time, so I just kind of try and stay in my lane and live and let live and, you know, set my boundaries, reset them when they need resetting, and paddle my own friggin' canoe. It's very hard sometimes, but I mean, what else can I do?
I understood all of those words, but Keith, is that confusing?
No, I get it. I get it. You can only do yourself, blah, blah, blah. Sure. I get it. We said the same thing. Promise.
Episode 3553, Tom and Jerry with Calvin Cato. Now, this drove me crazy.
Interesting. Okay.
Because why would Dave Chappelle say he's a once-in-a-lifetime performer? Let me tell you if you're a once-in-a-lifetime
and
talent.
And Cat Williams, can you even count?
Six. Hello, Cat.
Last I checked, 16 was more than 12.
Thank you.
Buddy. Okay.
That's a chef's dozen, you son of a bitch.
No, I recently made a tweet, speaking of tweets, that was very well received by the public about how 11 is a stoner's dozen, 12 is a dozen, 13 is a baker's dozen, 15 is a gentleman's dozen. And 14 is still as yet unknown.
And 22 is mom, but don't eat them.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
They make a lot of food, and then you can't eat them, you know.
Leave them out.
Yeah.
This drove me crazy. If mouse in the house at 2 a.m., I'm calling my boyfriend who lives in a different borough, and I'm saying, I need you to come over.
And it'd be fun.
And
like,
you know what? I say death penalty.
Death penalty. You're not wrong. Because I don't know about, like, you know, I can easily think, why wouldn't you come over? And then, you know, fuck, make love, something. When Kyle called me about a roach, the kids are there. I didn't even necessarily introduce myself to them at the time. And it's like, I'm really going to come over and take care of a roach and leave? We may not support this behavior.
I cannot support this behavior was what Calvin's boyfriend said in there. Yeah. And I praise him. What an excellent guy. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. I think, you know, the fact that they had this disagreement and they're able to sort of move through it is, I think, the sign of a really good relationship.
Well, it didn't sound like they got actually. Yeah.
He was really calling him after the show to tell him that he was enlightened by this information and that maybe he could be wrong because, wow, he compared it to, sizable things, which was a little disturbing.
I'm being robbed, if I'm, yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is if he wasn't offered, like, hey, why don't you come to my place, to me that would be different. Like, I'm having a moment. I don't want to be here or I want you to be here. I need you in some capacity. Maybe I don't cry wolf all the time. Maybe this is the first unreasonable thing. You don't have to come over. But he did offer him to come over to his place, so.
Yes, I think
but
I'm.
But he wanted a hero at that moment.
Right.
He wanted to be with the kind of guy who drops everything when he hits a high pitch. You know, like, that's, I get that, you know, because that's what we call romance. And the boyfriend wants to be with a kind of person who doesn't call him when he's scared at that level.
Right.
Because we want to respect our partners, yeah.
I feel so ill-equipped to, like, even put myself in that headspace for 1 second of having expectations of someone else. And even when he said, what if it was a burglar? What if it was this and that? Yeah. It's like, what is he going to do if it's a burglar? You can't count on him for anything if it's a burglar either.
Right.
What difference does it make if it's a mouse, if it's a roach, if it's a burglar, if it's a breeze through the window? Like, you have to deal with your own stuff.
Picture, like, he comes over with raids, sprays the burglar in the face, and then turns to Calvin. That's all I can do.
Like, if there's a burglar holding you at gunpoint, and what you think you need in that moment is your boyfriend to come over, you're wrong.
Yeah.
You know, like, you still need to be taking care of yourself in all of these moments. And the root of your misery is not that the other person's inaction is affecting you. It's that you have this expectation that somebody else is going to come in and make everything better. And it's just not, it's not, that's not being an adult. That's not what life is. You have to take care of your own self.
Isn't that the romantic depiction? Anytime they build a story sure. like that,
of course.
It's I will come to your rescue. If you're in need, then you know I'm going to answer that no matter what level it is. And
right.
that's unfortunate because that is where we get our ideas from. And it, I think he's just scared. Like, right. oh my God, I can't rely on this person. And then fear of every, oh my God, I am alone. Like, do I even have a boyfriend? What is this relationship? Can I call it a partnership? Like all of that, all of the fear just starts coming in.
Yeah. I mean, I think you, number one, you can't rely on anyone in that way.
At 2 a.m.
I mean, I just think like if you have enough experiences in your life where you're disappointed in this way, you start to realize that it will always be that. It can never, even if somebody comes in and sweeps the mouse into a dustpan and does a cool move and throws it out the window and, you know, bats it out the window and kisses
blows a
you
kiss.
And
toodles.
Dances in a dip and saves you. That's probably
the narcissist in his love bombing stage.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
probably what's actually happening. That's exactly. It's probably just manipulation to think that you're a prince because this is not logical to do over and over again. I think the real question is, how important is this? If it was important, I will absolutely be there, but please don't test me with unimportant things about how I will respond to important things.
And it'll be over by the time I get there also.
Right. And the thing that his boyfriend said, which is like, basically the idea, like, I love you so much that I'm going to risk this argument because I believe that, you know, you can do it on your own and it's not, you know, instead of just being insecure, running to and being like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I know, like, I should have been there for you with the mouse, like saying, I can't support this behavior.
I'll tell you this, if I hear a mouse, if I see a mouse and, you know, Xerxes is somewhere else, if he didn't live here, I'd be like, hey, can I just come over tonight? Because this is a high level for me of not being able to sleep. I'm picturing a mouse running across my face now. So can I just come to your place? I think that level of rescue I do need.
Okay. But you made a plan for yourself in that moment.
Yes, because I'm already awake. Yeah, no. Well, I still woke you up at 2 a.m. I'm still disturbing your sleep. You still will have to open the door for me. This is not a good night for you because of me. But that's...
Nah, but now you're over my place. We're fucking, you know?
It's always as long as it is there.
Yeah, it was really interesting to hear that discussion and to hear him get his perspective sort of rocked as he was talking it through with you both. I really
he's
liked
pretty
that
cool
episode.
About it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was pretty awesome. Cool about it. Kept laughing about it, you know, let us poke him about it. It was really, really cool.
We're all excited for the follow up.
Yep.
And what was the poll here?
That was the poll. Whose side were you on regarding the mouse in the house? Calvin's or Tom? By the way, what a clever title. Am I right or wrong? Tom and Jerry.
I mean,
come on. Were the papers talking about it? Check Facebook.
Yes.
Whose side were you on? 10% were on Calvin's side. 90% of the forums were on Tom's side. And Calvin told the story. That's when you know you're wrong. When you're the one telling the story and you lost by 90%. Okay.
That's a really good point, Keith. And Keith knows that because he's the scientist and these are his beakers.
Thanks. Right, right, right. Yeah. He always tells us what color they are. Don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to also touch on the idea of an ingratitude list, which I love because I totally empathized with what you were saying, Keith, about taking stock of what's wrong. I've done this actually a lot in throughout my recent ordeal. You may have heard about it.
Cancer, right?
Where I'm like, oh, why am I so stressed? This is, oh, I hate this feeling. I'm so annoyed. I just want to watch TV and eat a burger and not do anything. But, oh. And then I'm like, well, you have cancer, number one. Like, the train was late. You know, like, just making a list, taking stock and saying, maybe I can cut myself some slack for having bad feelings right now because they're maybe warranted. And maybe if I just let myself say, you know what, this fucking sucks, then it'll be easier to move through it and get past it.
Right. It would make more sense why my anxiety is high if I have a little bit of reason.
Right. Like, why is the DMV making me cry? It's like, right. Well, you know, because of all the other things.
Right. And the DMV.
And the DMV, yes, yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, so it was a hysterical list, if it's hysterical. It's a historical list.
Yeah, and there's got to be a lot. Like,
here's the historical.
Yeah. If that, right. That it's obviously not my only problem, but like when I'm taking back all my forms of ID and putting it back in my pocket, and I'm just ready to fucking lose it. And then I go to the side, like, is there another word I should have said? Fuck it. No. And I'd leave. Like, yeah, obviously. All right. Let me, what's the other four things?
Yeah. Yeah. Why did you randomly yell at a stranger? Okay. In gratitude list, this is why I yelled at a stranger. Right.
Friend of mine recently got divorced, and in doing so, she needed to deal with the DMV because her and her spouse shared a vehicle, and she literally had to go to the DMV on Christmas Eve, on New Year's Eve day, on Valentine's Day. And then I think there was one more holiday where she
Arbor
ended
Day.
Up at the DMV. She was like, mark your calendars. If it's a holiday.
I'm busy.
I'm likely at the DMV trying to deal with this. And yeah, so she was scheduled to drive up to her family on Christmas Day. But after being at the DMV on Christmas Eve, she just had to go straight from there. She's like, I can't be like divorced person at DMV on Christmas Eve. Like,
right.
That can't be my legacy. I have to go. So, yeah, I mean, and same sort of thing. Like, you don't have this, you don't have that. You know, do you own the car?
Right. But it's like I said on the next show with you, it's like, then call the police because I stole all this guy's identification and credit cards.
No,
the money in my wallet probably isn't mine. Like, shouldn't we call somebody?
Yeah, maybe the arresting officer can help me more than right. You are.
Because can I get fingerprinted into a driver's license, please?
At least then there'll be a record of who I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, that stuff is so hard. And I mean, yeah, I deal with it a lot with like health insurance stuff. And, you know, I have all these specialty pharmacies that I have to talk to all the time. So I think I call it personal admin. And I try to set aside time where I do my personal admin. You know, I got my lists out. And that's being a customer service representative is helpful in those situations because also, I mean, you
also,
what I
could
always,
take away all your patients for the day and now you have to have patients for your own admin stuff. That's,
oh my gosh,
very
I
difficult.
Know.
Yeah.
That's my ingratitude list right there. My God.
I also set aside time like where I think I said this on the show where I go, okay, I like your words for it, personal admin. I call it boring stuff. And I go, okay, today I'm doing boring things for half an hour. I'm about to start boring things. At the end of this half hour, my treat will be A, B, and C. It doesn't have to be food or whatever.
This DMV friend of mine as well, she calls it tea cobbing, taking care of business. Tea, and she goes, and she calls me. She goes, and we're tea cobbing. We're tea cobbing. And we're tea cobbing. Okay.
Adulting. Adulting.
So that's another good way to say it. And just crossing it off. Oh my God, we are tea cobbing. So good luck to you, Keith. Do you Thank have an update you. On the
Tomorrow's family? The next free day I can do stuff. So I'll see. I'll get my points together, whatever the fuck that means. Maybe Kyle has to hire me to give me a pay stump. We'll figure something out.
Serenity now.
Yeah.
Serenity now.
You know we have a checkbook, right?
A checkbook, but I don't know. Can we just print out a pay stub for me?
No, not a stub. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, sorry. We'll do a behind the
scenes. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, you guys figure that out. I mean, that is great.
Don't drag me into content it.
For last week on Keith and the Girl, the show where we talk about personal admin and finances. Yeah. And we discuss how best to enter our information into a spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. I like to use the keyboard. Okay, moving on. This episode, 3,554, The World is Crumbling, skeet, skeet, goddamn, with Paige's Party. Mm-hmm. And I was on this episode, and it was a true honor to be handpicked by Paige. Such an illustrious panel of guests and me talking through the news of the day with Paige's explicit blessing. And I had a great time. I was so honored to be on that episode.
And you were great. And what a cool customer, meaning this isn't a surprise by now, of course, but, you know, Rod misunderstood something you were saying, was coming in kind of for a second, a little condescending and moving on. You're like, no, stop it. Professional podcaster, let me explain my point. And you know, and then obviously everybody's pals and stuff the whole time, but I loved it. I loved everything about it.
Thank you. Yeah, I did think I didn't explain myself correctly.
You did
up top, but then I just, you know, it was like an issue of, you know, apathy and voting, talking about people being apathetic and voting. Mm-hmm. And I just think that as a talking point for this current situation, that's kind of, you know, that's not the whole story, essentially.
By the way, I don't know if you go on Reddit, but we have to vote tomorrow. Do you mind just telling me the answers?
Yeah. Well, it depends on your district, but I'm voting for Jumanji.
Okay. For Jumanji. Governor. I can remember that. Okay.
Lieutenant Governor is a gal. Let's see. What is her name? What is her name?
They usually go women, not to brag.
What is her name? She's endorsed by AOC and my congresswoman, Nydia Velasquez. Okay. Her name is Ana Maria Archila.
Okay.
And then in my assembly district, Marcella Matinas. That's District 51, but you can look up your district. This is the Democratic primary.
Right. I do try to pick the craziest names.
And I'm going to send you an infographic as well for delegates and alternates.
Okay. Thank you.
Boy, I'd be getting Keith's vote.
Mm-hmm. You win.
Keith.
And you have to be a Democrat, of course, but yeah, you win.
Yeah. Okay. So that's that on that. I mean, it's a primary and it's fun to vote regardless because you get to go and you get to, you know, fill it out and put it in the machine. And
I don't think it's the worst thing. I don't think it's the worst thing. I haven't been, maybe I'm lucky where I live. I haven't been seeing long lines. And you get off work. If you work for a company of any kind, you get off work. Take an extra half hour and buy a sandwich.
Do it. Do it for yourself. Yeah. Do it for your country.
That's right.
Do it for the sandwich.
Do it for your sandwich. Yeah, I love voting. I'm obsessed. Shalewa is so funny.
Mm-hmm.
I got to be on her on the marathon at the same time as her as well. I mean, she's kind of a legend at this point, a living legend, because she sort of just pops up in everything and she's on everyone's thing and she's often like the funniest part of everyone's thing. But she's such a cool customer.
This is a superstar lineup. Yep. Like, Paige can have my job. I bow down to you. Like, it was really, really a good group to put together. We had a lot of very heavy topics. And it was still, I'm going to call it fun.
Yep.
Like what? What could you?
The topics or the fun? Yeah.
You know, I'm a baby. So like, you know, I need help. I woke up Xerxes at 2 a.m. Like, oh, what did we talk about? I can't even.
I saw a mouse on the episode and I freaked out. it was. And then also I wanted to give another chance for you to repeat the details about Sparrow's loved one who's in trouble. And if you don't remember, you can re-listen to that episode to find out what you can do.
You can also hear help. The very, very end. I repeat the phone number you should call.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, sometimes we do comedy show. Sometimes we do a comedy show that's not funny. Sometimes we do a comedy show that's funny, even though it's not funny. And this was that, I think. You know? Funny even though it's funny, even though it's not funny.
Yeah, sometimes there are tears. And then, I don't know, I feel like a lot of us grew up where if we're going to cry about something, let's not talk about it. If it's going to feel bad, let's not talk about it. We can only joke about this, that, and the next, and we can only joke about it in order to move on. I think we, like, put all of it in there. We get to be sad and fun and funny and, like, come back to sad and swing around, and we all have reasons to be up and down. And I think that was such a great place to be. I know I want to talk about this stuff, so talking about it with all you guys was really great.
Right.
And everybody is so pro, you know, of course, all those guests at this point, but, you know, not too much talking over with so many people and such passionate discussions.
Yes. Yes. And so now I would say the best way to get an abortion would be to just go out in public as often as you can and hope to die in a mass shooting.
I just heard about another Amtrak crash. So just go out more.
Just get out more and put yourself in danger. Mm-hmm. And that'll likely do it. You'll be able to take care of it that way.
Yeah, at least you'll die on a moral high ground. Good on you.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, it's very important. Leaving a legacy.
Yeah, so
can I mention something fun?
Yeah, I have time for that. Okay. Yep, thank you.
Okay, great. Because Silent Trailers is coming, and that is a release. That is party time. That is like a time where we can just be so goofy and silly. And this month, it's going to be July 16th, and we're having Casey James Salengo, Will Winner, and Patrick Schroeder, all from The Good, The Dad, and The Ugly. And that's in a couple weeks. But if you're a VIP, you already have the ticket. If you don't have the ticket, check your dashboard for information or get in touch. But do it early. Do it before the show starts, because once we're at the show, we can't help you. Also, this week is a production meeting on Saturday. You know, all this information is at keithandthegirl.com/tickets. And I say this because we started this when the pandemic started, because we really needed a laugh. We really needed to get together and throw stupid shit out and chat with each other and do that kind of stuff. So I think this is important. And if it's entertained you in the past, it'll entertain you this time. And if you haven't come, give it a go. Everyone's in the chat, chatting up in the Zoom chat while the show is going on. And I think it's a blast.
Agreed.
It's a blast?
It is a blast. It's scary.
It's a little more stressful.
It's scary when the game actually takes place. Right now, I'm thinking the three boys. They're guys. So I know how guys act, and I can see them getting mad at each other, getting something wrong, and that's when I kill.
Yeah, that's your that's when you isolate their weakness and you spear.
Oh, I'm a regular WandaVision.
I have a pitch.
Yes.
I have a pitch for Hemda you guys toss this around in the production meeting. See what you think. So if you know, sometimes you get to the point where you start to spell the title of the movie.
Yes.
I think prior to that, something that you should try is reading some of the comments on the YouTube trailer, just some of the random shit that people write, and then have them guess what the movie is based on the comments. Hmm.
This is bullshit. How can a dog shoot basketball like that?
Yeah. Well, let me
just for the record, I'm not watching it on YouTube while it's happening.
Oh, okay.
That would be a shift into things. Yeah.
How are you watching it?
Shout out to Xerxes, who sets it up and is able to play it so that we're not reliant on YouTube.
Okay.
I don't know how. I really don't.
Shout out to Xerxes. Hold on just a second. And I agree. Shout out to Xerxes always. And forever. Sorry. Okay. Did you hear that?
No,
we're in suspense.
Okay,
also.
Good. Okay, so try and guess what movie this is.
Okay.
You know a movie is awesome when you come back to the trailer after watching it.
Okay.
Matrix. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
No.
Come back to the trailer. Back to the Future.
The new Tom Cruise thing with the airplanes. What is that? Top Gun 2.
Yes, correct.
Whoa. Maverick. Top Gun Maverick.
Listen, I'm listing the three movies that you guys have been talking to me about.
How about this comment? My dad was 25 when the first movie came out.
Top Gun Maverick.
And I was 2. After he watched it, he promised me that I will become a fighter pilot.
Top Gun.
I'm 37.
Top Gun 1.
Correct. He says he's 37 and he's proud to say that he's a professional Uber driver. Anyway, I freaking love that movie. No spoilers, but
the Maverick one?
I loved it.
It's it just reached $1 billion.
Yeah.
It's tied for first place with whatever the new movie that just came out was, at 30 million, which is a big deal because it's week 5 already. But yeah, you know how I see it? Do you see this in your feeds? I see a lot of people going, that's right. Nobody needs woke Hollywood. And this Buzz Lightyear movie is forcing a lesbian couple of some kind. This movie is not woke and it takes no prisoners. There's nothing in there that's tough. There just doesn't happen to be a gay couple. But it's like, finally, shit that isn't woke.
There's literally no friction, and there's barely any conflict.
Right.
It's just a bunch of people doing awesome shit.
Right.
And it's and the enemy is not even named. Like, how
we don't know what country. Yeah.
How can we feel anything?
Right. And there's a, like, if there is like a bad person, it's the new version of Iceman, you know, a guy that's too cocky. That's all.
And if there's another bad person, they're wearing a full helmet. You can never see their face.
Right. In the bad
they have
guys
no
in
humanity.
Fighter planes, right.
The bad guys are robots, and
we
don't even know what their objective is. We like our guys, and it's uncomplicated. It doesn't surprise me that people like things that are uncomplicated, because I also do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a movie. You want to have some silly shit sometimes, some fun stuff. Like, okay.
Listen, we already saw Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Let's breathe now,
covered. All right. And on that cheerful note, I think we must say goodbye. to all of the ladles and jelly spoons and everyone in between. And there used to be a grand tower alone on the sea. Today we record last week on KATG. Believe that this show will help you succeed. But did you know that when you press play, Bianca gets aroused and the dicks that she sucks get super hard? Baby, Bianca's gonna suck your dick on the road, on the bed. Ooh, Bianca's gonna put your dick in her mouth, butt, and vagina. Now that your dick isn't here, Bianca appears on the gray. Geekfromthegirl.com.